Central Contra Costa Sanitary District Employer Audit Report.
I know.
Okay. Looking at Central San, like two of the items that were the findings actually related to their policy side, two of which we've already discussed, as far as retirees returning to work, and then also the reporting of felony convictions. From the initial findings, the district actually has come forward and published a new HR policy for both of those points. On the original policies that they had, on notification, and they had updated to reflect the notification requirements for the felony conviction. So they redrafted and published and distributed to the employee, in their handbook, a revised, which is consistent with what's required under the government code.
We laid down the hammer. We now require employees to tell us of their felonies within 60 days, which is nice.
I'm sure they're going to run right out and do that.
Yeah, because I'm sure they'll still be our employees at that point. But anyway, sorry, Raleigh.
Prospective.
First tip-off should have been that they had visiting hours.
Yeah, right.
When you could come talk to them.
Right.
If you like them, I'll give them an extra bologna sandwich.
Right.
And then the other item relating to retirees returning to work, the policy that the district had did not provide disclosure as far as some of the updated rules with respect to the hours condition, in limitations on the type of work, securing the exemption if they're coming back within the 180 days, and then also when it comes to the employee policy, the employers to certify in advance. The retiree coming back to work. This is Sarah. In the form is actually the table that we created for that, where the individual is indicated, disclosed to Sarah that they're coming back to work, the conditions and the length of time that they're coming back, and that's provided to us in advance so we can make a determination, well, at least before we make a determination, whether that's consistent with the policy is for the retiree coming back to work. And then that was also published as well and distributed to the employees.
There's a reference here on page 5 of the report. Mm-hmm. It says the district currently has 33 earned codes, of which 13 have been deemed non-pensionable.
Right.
I assume by that it means that they're reporting them correctly. It doesn't. They're not reporting the non-pensionable ones to us, or are they?
That's a really good question, because up until this time we haven't been receiving their individual pension codes at all. Pensionable or otherwise.
So don't we need to...
That's an IT error. I'm sorry.
Don't we need to nail that down to determine whether or not any of those 13 are being reported?
Well, okay, going to one of the other findings, the information that was being transmitted to us on the I-30 only included what was ostensibly, a base pay or gross pay, including all of the pensionable items. How the process would work is the retirement counselor would actually send a retirement verification form to their payroll office. They would certify what amounts were actually pensionable. They would break out, leave cash, it's that sort of thing. But the other differentials, longevity, these sorts of things were not being transmitted to Sarah from the district. So during the course of the audit, I had actually requested from the district their payroll records for the time period. The detail is actually resident in their payroll system, and looked at what items they had disclosed or had considered to be pensionable, and then those that were not. That list, through a separate project, had actually been provided to Sarah when they were looking at the Pepper issue. The new regulations were coming in, and a study was done, and we asked for all pensionable items. But one of the things that wasn't being done is that information wasn't being transmitted to us. So, in order for us to make sure that the information that we're receiving as far as compensation only includes those pensionable items, we've asked the district to undergo a project to do an extraction on an ongoing basis and include that detail in our report. I believe that's going to be the first template for that's going to be April 25th.
Yes.
So when we receive that, we're going to take a look at that. And then what we're going to do is we're going to actually go back in conjunction with that template and have them recertify that these are the pensionable items. If there's any, you know, discussion as to what may or may not, you know, that we'll have discussions and then we'll make a final determination based on that.
So the goal then is to affirmatively determine that we are only getting reported what is pensionable.
Right. We're right now it's coming in bulk.
Right, yeah. In bulk. So if we determine that it's all clean, that's one issue. Mm-hmm. If we determine that inadvertently one or two of these codes over some course of time due to obviously IT errors.
Yes.
Yeah, that person's in prison anyway, so we don't need to worry about her.
But might be a parole.
Do we have to then go back and look for corrections, look for adjustments for those codes that were erroneously reported to us over a period of time?
That didn't happen, Jerry. Never happened.
I'll write that down.
Yeah. That's a Raleigh question. Yeah,
that's a Raleigh question.
In connection with the report, the retirees that I did look at and requested April data, it seemed consistent, at least within that time, the retirees within that time period. I didn't discover any overstated or item that should not have been included. But if we go back to an earlier time period, apply the same filter, that there could be some incidents. How many I could not quantify without actually doing that work. But I think the main thing is going forward. We'll be able to actually make those determinations and have that data within our pension system. And then on an ongoing basis, if there's anything new that's considered or appears, we certainly have to make that determination.
Well, I'd want to give them the benefit of the doubt. There may be some that haven't been reported that should be.
Right.
No?
It's clean.
No, it's clean. I keep hearing that. Todd keeps
saying that. He just audited them.
Yeah. All right.
So you're okay this is not too much of a loose end?
Again, the audit wasn't exhaustive. I didn't go back to all time periods of all retirees and actives, going back, since the district became a member of the system. But within the time period of the most immediate retirees, which, remember, is inclusive of all the retirees with everything else going on with legislation and otherwise over the last few years, I think it was a reasonable representative sample. I believe there was 35 retirees and 35 actives that I looked at. Their active role is, about 320, something like that?
What was it?
No, it's more like 260.
Oh, 260, sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what's that mean?
I didn't want to say that you're going to be
I'm sorry. I thought there was a code there.
So a little bit over 10% of the active population and 35 retirees that I looked at, and most of them were within the last 2 years during the audit period. So. I think that was a reasonable representative sample of what was going on.
Was Todd's name chosen at random?
So keep in mind, under the statute, before the audit, we tell the employers what's pensionable, they report to us pensionable compensation. There's not a requirement in CERL that they do that by pay item. And at one time, all the employers reported everything in one lump sum.
Yeah.
When the county went to PeopleSoft, they started reporting it by pay items. Other districts followed. Central San is the last one.
Okay.
But for all the other ones, we didn't go back and
didn't need to be emphasized
to the time before they reported individual pay items and try and individualize. And
my main concern is this unwinding procedure that has to be done at some later date. If there's something that we catch now, we catch it now and everybody's happy. We catch it 5 years from now, somebody says, what do we do with the last 5 years? Or, okay, thank you. Hold that thought.
No, I just want to say, I think that in the work that you're doing, in trying to establish what's going on now and making sure that what we do going forward has integrity and has the amount of integrity that we would like to see coming, the information has integrity coming into our system, I think that that's a bigger priority in going back and starting to look at, okay, how many mistakes were made and all of that. I really think that your time is more well spent getting through all of the audits of all of the employers and making sure that all of them are giving us data with integrity first.
But you can't do that because you're spending so much time on the look-back project. So.
I know.
Sound like a request for another.
And so that's what my comment was meant to say. I really wouldn't want you to, if you've done the work you've done and you've been inside Central San and said, yeah, nothing really came to my attention out of the 10% sample that I looked at, I wouldn't want, as a board member, to say, oh, no, I want you to go back and look at the other 90%.
Any other questions?
Not fully.
Karen has one.
One question that I have is with regards to Judge Flynn's ruling in the AB 197 lawsuit and the carve-out exception for the estoppel class, those folks who were grandfathered because their employer allowed them to cash out more than what they were earning in 1 year. And I think we identified previously that that is most likely Central San employees that were able to do that, with some additional employers or divisions that had that ability as well. And your audit included that part at all, and maybe looking at records or looking at the employer and whether they're preserving records. So that the amount in the bank can be determined.
The as far as the retirees that I looked at, that was actually one of the data points. When I pulled the payroll records, they do actually have that indicated in the payroll system, and you know, I was able to track that through, and they matched that up to what they had reported and certified to us as being allowable under their policy with respect to these cash outs. They didn't cover like anything that was outside of their policy, and it was consistent for those retirees. Going forward, that actually would be something. I know you were in discussions with Karen Day previously with respect to some of the tracking that you were proposing. So going forward, that's something that we'd actually see as part of their record coming to us when somebody actually is retiring as a payroll item. And then we would actually take a look at and make sure that there's an edit some sort of prompt that if it hits side, what's allowable and our understanding of what your policy is and what's consistent with the installment clause, that we'd actually be able to address it. And that would be something that would be flagged and you'd actually go back to you
So then that data is coming into us on an ongoing basis, but there's no preserved snapshot of everybody's vacation bank at Central San?
As far as the accruals that they've already reported, because they did provide some of us, we haven't completely vetted out for all of their active population at this point. It does exist as a data point within the system. As to what it's truly indicating, we'd actually have to come to terms and agreement where we match up the employer's record to what's in ours. And when we get to that point, and not just Central San, the other districts as well, we'd actually certify that as being accurate. So going forward, we can rely on our pension record, our pension system record.
And we've had one employee retire, and we submitted the information, and the format that it's in seems to give Cicera enough information to figure out, what estoppel hours that individual had. Is that fair?
Yeah, they seem to have the data that we need. We had some questions on, okay, we know they accrued this month, but can you tell us which day, that sort of thing. But
yeah,
once we knew that, they do have it, a printout they give us.
Any estimate on how many people are in the estoppel class based on the data?
Well, aside from the audit, our next step is to actually collect the data on everybody, not just Central Sand, on what they had accrued as 12/31/12. So we have the data and what they could cash out as of that date and so forth, so that as these people retire, we'll have some of the information. We just need to figure out what happened since then. Make it clear what it is that they need or what we'll need going forward.
Okay. Any other questions? Raleigh, thank you very much.
Great job.
Good job.
I had a question for Raleigh before you go. And maybe it's for Gil. How much staff time do we have devoted to this besides, I know you're probably full-time on between the look back and these audits, right? Is that pretty much all you're doing now?
No.
Do you have other staff working on these projects?
Well, on an ad hoc basis, I use our Liz Winkler, who does our queries, data queries for me. Time to time to access and provide snapshots of records. Every now and again, the retirement counselors, there might be a project that we'd assign for them to actually pull certain information for us, and then I take that and put it into an analytical framework. And I think that's the same process that Kurt uses as well. We leverage off of the staff in-house.
You got a little help from communications on formatting reports.
Right. How much time are you spending?
He's a full-time business analyst.
How much time are you spending on this?
Right now, not that much.
Not on the audits. So what about the look-back projects?
Not that much.
Okay. It's in his hands.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, at one point I was, but he's...
I'm just wondering if it makes, given that you've got two going on simultaneously, if it makes sense for us to bring in some staffing help to sort of...
temporary staff or...
Yeah. Temporary staff to come.
Temporary staff or... That's what we're thinking about. We do know that when he tries to audit the county, and there are 5,000 divisions and departments, we'll at least need some temporary help.
For this year, I'd actually discuss that with Gail. There were some temporary hours for
in the budget
help,
to help with some of the clerical.
For some of the upcoming audits with the county.
You guys didn't see in the audit committee charter that
the systems authority to audit became there in the law under PEPRA, and at that point in time the system hired the compliance officer. Many other systems have an internal auditor as well, or an internal audit
department.
And they're the ones who are actually conducting audits, whereas compliance is reserved for compliance. So that's another possibility for an internal audit department.
Didn't we approve an internal audit position at one point? I thought we approved that before.
Not audit.
Mr. Chair, I need to leave.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, the best part's over.
Thank you. Now, Raleigh, we can get in the dirt part.
Tell us how it really
I think an aside. There's a couple of different ways that the system can go. With my background, the internal audit position is usually an autonomous position outside the business processes, and even compliance to a certain degree should be. However, given the flatness of our organization, we each try and pitch in where we can, based on expertise, skills, and so forth. While you're deliberating about the audit committee, that's one of the things that down the road you might want to be actually thinking about is, an internal audit, which in a sense would audit me. Dainty actually was saying, well, here, come look at the work that I did. But it is an essential part of good governance for any public pension system. And that one of the things that I'd actually say is the internal auditor should have a certain amount of autonomy to report directly to the board, and not through, that's one of the models, through the operational management structure. There's also internal controls managers, which go about looking at everything internally, then you can report out through compliance and management as well. So there's a couple of different ways the board can go. But again, ultimately, you know, it's up to the board to find which is the good mix, you know, for the things that, that you feel should be accomplished.
Okay. Raleigh, thank you very much.
Thank you.